May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Do please be seated. Everyone wants to be happy. When stressful things happen to us, our brain releases cortisol, which helps trigger that fight or flight response that's so unpleasant to experience. You know, it takes 1 or 2 hours for cortisol to be removed from your bloodstream, so you stay very hyper after an experience like that. When nice things happen to us, we experience pleasure through the release of oxytocin. That's removed from our bloodstream in about 5 minutes. Doesn't seem fair, does it? But no wonder we are always wanting to avoid stress and seek pleasure. Now, happiness is so important to people's well-being that there is, I don't know if you knew this, a happiness research institute dedicated to it. And major universities fund studies to understand it better. Every year, the World Happiness Report, I kid you not, can tell you which country that you would be happiest in. I wonder if you could possibly guess. Actually, it's been Finland for quite a while now. And although the UK has climbed from 19th place to 13th since 2016, not bad. And the report also helps us to understand what makes the people of a country happier than the people of a different country. Because everyone wants to be happy. And the question of how to be happy is even more pressing in these unusually difficult and stressful, and for some people agonizing times in which we now live. Our gospel reading has something to say about this, because in many Bibles the word translated here blessed, or if you prefer blessed, is, as I say, many Bibles translated happiness. Happier person. So here Jesus is claiming to hold the secret of human happiness, and it's very counterintuitive indeed. First, there are some things that most of us think if we avoid them, then we'll be happy, like poverty, hunger, sorrow, rejection by others. And Jesus says that these things can actually be a pathway to happiness. Makes sense of that. And then there are some things that most people are absolutely certain will make them happy, like wealth and plenty of food and laughter and a good reputation. And Jesus is very clear about these things, that they will not make us happy at all. Now, these words are part of a long sermon that Jesus is preaching. And he goes on in the rest of it to talk about many things that people think will make them happy if they have them or avoid them. You'll be happy, Jesus says, if you're kind to your enemies or give your stuff away and forgive those who hurt you and face up to your shortcomings. All things that everybody knows causes pain, not happiness. And you won't be happy, Jesus says, if you criticize others, stay bitter with those who hurt you, take revenge, always defend yourself, and convince yourself and others that you're in the right. All things that we know intuitively will make us feel good about ourselves, and so make us happy. So why is Jesus twisting these things around the wrong way? Or is it that he can see that it's us who are twisted out of shape? And he's showing us the way to become untwisted. Perhaps it might help if we leave behind the word happy and get back to the word in front of us on our sheets, blessed. Now, blessing, blessed, blessed, this is what you might call true and lasting happiness. It's not a passing pleasure or a moment of elation. It's a deep and permanent state of being. It's a sense deep within yourself of being loved and appreciated so completely that you feel utterly sure of your value and your worth without ever needing to prove it. Imagine that. And that comes, that blessing, that blessedness comes from connecting with God deep in the depths of your being, Jesus says. Some people talk about the need to invite Christ into your heart. Others of us believe that he is already there, just waiting to be discovered. Either way, though, it's up to us to turn to God deep within ourselves, especially in these days, and allow that connection to be made, and then to nurture it with all our heart and mind and soul and strength. And that's when you realize that wealth and plenty of food and laughter and good reputation can sometimes become a distraction from this kind of deep blessedness. If you try to make do with the kind of fleeting, volatile happiness that they can offer. And that's when you realize that poverty and hunger and sorrow and rejection by others, as unpleasant as they are, can't take away this deep blessedness, because it arises from your connection to the God within you and not with about what's happening around about you. In fact, what those we call saints realize is that these kinds of negative experiences can actually sometimes magnify that deep inner sense of being loved and appreciated so completely that you feel utterly sure of your value and worth, simply because of the contrast with that sense within us of our unshakable rootedness in the God who is always at the heart of us, but who, in good times, is so easy to ignore. And it's not that we don't experience suffering, because we do, don't we? But rather, it's that we come to realize that the blessedness of true happiness comes from somewhere utterly different from where we thought. And the blessedness of this connection with the God of the Gospel fits very closely, actually, with what the World Happiness Report finds to be the root of individual and community happiness. Tell you what they are? Relationships, freedom, generosity, honesty, positivity, along with provision for our needs and the promise of life. All things that are the heart of the Gospel. It's the kind of blessedness that we imagine belongs to heaven. It's the kind of blessedness that we imagine that the loved ones that we will remember today are experiencing. It's the kind of blessedness we imagine is possible only on earth if you're a saint. It's the kind of blessedness that leads away from the emptiness and unreliability of selfishness. It's the kind of blessedness that leads towards acts of kindness and compassion towards others. It's the kind of blessedness that creates blessing. It's the kind of blessedness that Jesus is offering to all his disciples, both on the day when he preached this sermon and on this day too, in your hearing. Everyone wants to be happy. So let's have faith that Jesus, of all people, knows what he's talking about when it comes to finding true happiness.